In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. On the show, we've covered fringe topics such as the various ways and scenarios non-humans can live among us undetected, with past guests such as Andrew Hennessy, Carissa Conti, Mark Passio, and Ken Ennegan. We've also examined the idea of how human progress and evolution is at times illusory, because as one guest mentioned, those who predate on us don't see the need for the art and glory, values and technology that humanity can manifest. This is a subtle realm, a perspective that Don and Carol Croft and Matthew Deleuze, who after years of research, articulated the parasite-host relationship, describing how humans are continually set up to have their energies harvested. The awareness of these concepts has gained considerable traction in the last several years, and interestingly, a more aggressive effort to enslave and cull the human race is moving rapidly. Carissa Conti was recently on the show explaining how non-human types have likely risen to strategic positions in society to help orchestrate the engineered pandemic and create a false consensus, fooling those into getting the poison jab. We address the current societal and geopolitical turmoil in the context of non-humans among us, the alien abduction protocol, and related military intelligence connections with guest James Bartley. James has been researching these topics for 25 years. He's a protege of legendary alien abduction researcher Barbara Bartlick of Tulsa, Oklahoma. James has spent years conducting paranormal field investigations in California's high desert. He's also an independent historian with an emphasis on military history. He's given many lectures on his research worldwide, and he hosts the podcast The Cosmic Switchboard. You can find that on YouTube and thecosmicswitchboard.com. We go now to hear part two of our interview with James Bartley. James Bartley, welcome back to Another News for this second part of the interview. In an interview we had with Carissa Conti, she elaborated on the unusually compliant doctors and nurses and workers in education and law enforcement to help facilitate the engineered pandemic to the point of creating false consensus and coercing people to get the poison jab. We talked about how those are the non-humans among us, including human hybrids who gained positions of influence. Would you please talk about your thoughts on this concept, and then what the contents of the poison jab is doing to humans on a physical and spiritual soul level, please?
What Barbie always told me, and she wasn't just being flippant. I understand now what she was getting at. But she used to always say, these people, and she didn't mean it dismissively, but these people being humanity at large, right? The surface people in Harry Potter terms, the muggles, okay? These people just don't have the neurology and the neurocircuitry to understand any of this, okay? And what she meant by that was any of this being not even coming close to the hardcore stuff she and I take for granted, but even the mid-level or lower basic stuff, the monetized debt system, the corporate control of the surface, et cetera, when she said they didn't have a neurology to understand that and the neurocircuitry to make the connections, what I've since come to understand is the process of de-evolution. It's not just that the public, and it's multiple generations by now, has been systematically dumbed down through this Marxist, communist, mind control system in the guise of a school system, right? Not only has that been going on, and then add to that the mesmerizing, lobotomizing aspects of mainstream media, TV news, et cetera, et cetera. It's that the human race, the surface population, has by and large been de-evolved genetically. And then you have to add on the centuries and centuries of religious manipulation and religious dogmas. The template beneath all of that is the fact that something was done from a genetic hybridization standpoint to cut us off, or in large part cut the surface population off from that cosmic spiritual guidance center that we all have, that we interpret as intuitions, as synchronicities, gut instinct, impressions, right? From the psychic esoteric sense. When I refer to impressions, I'm talking about impressions in the environment, impressions in a room, impressions, you know, radiating off of a person, place, or a thing, right? And animals, by and large, still retain the capability of picking up energetic impressions, psychic imprints, if you will, in their surroundings. They need it in order to survive. Humans, by and large, have been cut off from that process. So what's left on the platter is left-brained alphabet language, rote learning / indoctrination. So if people are, by and large, from a genetic hybridization standpoint, neurologically and from a metaphysical standpoint, also degraded, if you will, from plugging into higher forms or sources of knowledge, and all they've got left is the intellectual aspect, and then the intellectual aspect is destroyed through all this indoctrination and dogma. And then you look at what, I think his name was Yuri Bezimov, I'm probably butchering his last name, but he was a well-known KGB defector in the 1980s who gave a series of lectures. He was a KGB psychological warfare expert, disinformation expert. And he talked about the demoralization process, where they worked in generations of 15 years to demoralize the morals, the education, everything about the targeted society. And we see the bitter fruit of that today. So they literally can't make the simplest connections. And as Yuri Berezov said, it gets to the point where even if you flood them with a whole plethora of information, documents, photographs, videos, it doesn't matter. They've been so pre-programmed that they will reject it out of hand, right? And then on top of that, what they've done is, with the Soviet Marxist indoctrination, they've shunted, not only have they intellectually dumbed down these people so they can't critically analyze and critically think, for the most part, for a large chunk of them, not all, because, you know, but certainly a large percentage of the surface population, they've shunted them into their R complex of thinking and feeling and behaving. R complex being dominated by fear of aggression, of caste systems, ideology, and religiosity, etc., etc. And so you have all these people that get highly emotional when certain subjects or even words or names are brought up. They can no longer function, critically analyze, logically debate, have a reasoned argument. They knee-jerk reaction, highly emotive, aggressive, right? Very reptilian, very, very reptilian. So when Barbie said they literally don't have the neurology or the neural capacity, the synapses to understand any of this, she meant it from a genetic hybridization standpoint. So if you look at the professions that you were just talking about, the medical field, law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. And if you look at all the money pouring in from the tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, all these reptile, hybrid-controlled sources of fiat currency, when they just pour all this fiat currency into all the various fields, institutions, which basically set the standards and the norms of our surface civilization, right? So, to cite but one example, a key example is the Rockefeller control of allopathic medicine, the takeover, when the Rockefellers, John D. Rockefeller, reptile hybrid, if there ever was one, using the power of the grant-making process created the medical education system. I used to work in medical education, and I've seen myself the programming and the ego activation of all these residents, all these wannabe doctors. So, and we must always remember there's a supernatural element. It's not just what's being done on the surface with the creation of the medical education system, the creation of the American Medical Association in order to create all these bogus norms and standards in the school, the medical school system. But from a supernatural, metaphysical, esoteric standpoint, you have all these kids that are born part of this de-evolution hybridization process. They have reptilian familiars, in the old term of familiars, being a familiar spirit, if you will, which tracks familiar family being the root there, that tracks family trees multi-generationally. And through the adroit use of intrusive thoughts, through other forms of behavior manipulation, these people, somewhere along the line, or some mentor figure or some influential figure, usually some Archon-influenced individual himself or herself, says, "Johnny, I think you would make a great doctor one of these days. I think you'd make a great policeman. I think you could help the community," right? So at least outwardly, they have this, or at least at a conscious level, they think, okay, I'm going to do this for altruistic purposes because I like to help people. But really, there's an element of narcissism. There's an element of ego. All of that is tied up in the reptilian part of the brain, right? So these are people, by and large, who've been subtly and not so subtly at times influenced to become a doctor, to become a professor, to become a law enforcement officer. And so we're looking not only at a certain psychological profile. We must always remember that psychology follows neurology, which follows genetics every time, no exceptions. This is why there's these narcissistic personalities are the basis for the narcissistic personalities is the reptilian human hybridization agenda. They are narcissists because they're hybrids. They're extreme hybrids. And the training, the education, the ego activation, especially in the medical field, it promotes all that. They want to give these ego activated doctors and nurses a God complex, and they literally have a God complex now, where they literally hold the fate of people who are unfortunate to come into their lairs, you know, right, into their clinics and their hospitals. And because of the financial incentive involved, as many of your listeners know, oh, they make a diagnosis, oh, this guy's got whatever, let's protocol him to death. Because not only does a hospital get money for making the diagnosis, not only does a hospital get money for you know, using certain equipment, the ventilators, and administering some of the death-dealing toxins and agents, but the ego boost, the ego gratification comes of having that godlike power of deciding the fate of people. They may not consciously say, okay, here's another one I'm going to kill, although I guarantee there's a lot of doctors that are absolutely 100% conscious of the fact that this is a mass genocide death factory system they've created, right? And again, it's a manifestation of what's been going on underground all along. And now it just morphed, popped up into the surface world, right? So their egos are activated. And like Yuri Berimov, however his last name is pronounced, said, it doesn't matter what information you provide them. Their minds are made up. They're demoralized. They're going to do what their authority figures above them, because a big part of the reptilian brain is obeisance and adherence to hierarchies, right? So if the hospital administrators and then the state health departments and then the federal health agencies say to do a certain thing, or working through bodies like the National Institute of Health or whatever, and they come up with these bogus protocols, that's what they're going to do, because it's a dogmatic, ideological, ego-driven thing. And the godlike ability, Jeff, to literally decide the fate of somebody, just like that, okay? Get them on the ventilator, get them on the remdesivir, finish them off, right? And I just interviewed Ben Gordon on my show not too long ago, and he woke up in that process. Somehow, in some weird way, he got into a car accident. When he came to, there was a paramedic sticking a sedative into his arm, a needle, and he woke up in a hospital, intubated, catheter, vent. You know, he was on all this cocktail of drugs, right? And they were trying to finish him off, but right, thank his lucky stars or a divine providence watching over him, he woke up. And when he pulled all that stuff out of him, and he walked out into the hallway, the nursing staff, they darn near fell off their chairs because they thought he was just gonna, they thought they're gonna have to go in there and cover his body and then call in the cleanup crew again, right? But no, he thwarted them. He foiled them, their plans. He came to consciousness and pulled that stuff out of himself. So the point of relevance, to make this part come to a close, essentially, is what they've done with the genetic de-evolution hybridization agenda, where people literally can't make the simplest connections anymore because they simply don't have the neural circuitry, the synapses, etc., to do so, right? Combined with being cut off from divine source as the source for simple yes-no moral questions, let's say, right? And then ego activation on top of that, where they develop this godlike complex. Ego activation, all of that is reptilian in nature, and all has to do with this hybridization program and these school systems they've set up in all the fields. That's why the school boards at these schools in California, elsewhere, they're run by a bunch of Bolsheviks, right? Collectivist Bolsheviks who want to not just strip all private property from everyone, but kill them in the process, like true Bolshevik collectivist communist reptiles, right? So that whole mindset now is spread out. I wouldn't say uniformly, because there's still pockets of resistance or some places in America that are thankfully still red, if you want to use the old red-blue paradigm, right? When I say red, it's shorthand for largely Christian values, conservative values, gun ownership, family traditions, etc., etc. Everything that the communist Bolshevik reptiles, Luciferians want to corrupt and destroy. So they've normalized this eliminationist mindset in teachers, in the teaching professions, in the certainly in law enforcement for a long time now, the intelligence field, the biotech field, and definitely the medical field, because the medical field is the main engine. It's the main cog, if you will, in the death factory syndrome. There is no longer any pretense now of those in the know that they're there, those institutions, those hospitals are there to help people. No, it's anything but the case. We've seen droves and droves of nurses and doctors getting out of the system, but the fact that there's still this strong, ever-growing cadre of order followers, of dogmatist, ego-driven people with a God complex, they all gravitate to those institutions, Jeff. It's like, for example, where do pedophiles go? They go to where the children are, so they become band teachers, they become little league coaches, they become, they make themselves, ingratiate themselves, so they become a part of the scene. Oh, sure, I'll drive the kids in my van. Oh, sure, I'll take them out for ice cream and pizza and what have you after the ball games, right? They go to where their prey is. Well, in a similar sense, with the entities working through the bloodlines, dropping these intrusive thoughts, encouraging them, goading them, cajoling them, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. And they think it's their thought, when really it's the entities talking, using their own thought voice, if you will. And then these ego-driven, entity-infested, hybridized types wind up becoming your doctor, wind up becoming, judges. And you know what I mean? That's the nature of this planet. And that's what I mean by this hybridization agenda. That's who they've installed. And it goes all the way back, Jeff, to the time of the ancient priesthoods, right? When they did away with symbol language learning, replaced it with alphabet learning, which is inherently a left brain construct, because letters form words which can be interpreted by the priesthood. For a long time, the Catholic Mass was always in Latin. It didn't matter if the Gauls or whoever, didn't understand a word of Latin. That was beside the point, right? Well, it's a similar dynamic where they've been taught all this drivel and nonsense in a language that they've become accustomed to, alphabet language, and that fact alone tended to detune them from their inner source, their inner guidance, their moral compass, if you will. That's why so many of these doctors, nurses, and paramedics, etc., there should be hordes more doctors, nurses, and paramedics defecting by now. But no, you know, and also the authoritarian aspect where, what was it called, the Milgram experiments in America, where they determined that a disproportionate percentage of society, extrapolating on the numbers of volunteers they had, a significant number of people will torture the hell out of subjects if they're given leave to, if they're authorized to, if they're ordered to, right? And so we have hordes of order followers who, in their own right, these order followers are authoritarians as well. They're authoritarians in their own right. So we're surrounded by all these petty tyrants, these faceless bureaucrats and these public health ministries who come up with all these edicts. And then you have the order followers all down the line, every dang last one of them, right? They're hybridized themselves. They've got entities working through them themselves. If they lack a moral compass, which tells them this is inherently wrong, I shouldn't be doing this, right? If they can't even get to that level of awareness, I've been looking at people from a human, non-human standpoint since this thing started, Jeff, the last couple of years now, especially. Just based on the behavior of people, especially if they're in a position of power and influence to some degree, I make up my mind about them. I'm dealing here with a real human. Rare, like trying to find hen's teeth these days in certain institutions. But the rest of them that I see, I don't see them as human. I see them as human hybrids with an alien consciousness working through them. So this is very much a they live scenario. This is very much a they live and an idiocracy scenario combined all in one. And it's aspects of Logan's Run, Soylent Green, all those predictive programming movies from the 70s. They're now playing out right in front of us, a very high-tech version of it.
Yeah, thanks for going into detail there. It's really important, and I agree. This is a very complex spiritual war with a long-term agenda. Shifting a little bit to energy, and wondered what your thoughts are on the suppression and sabotage of the evolution of technology within the human public domain. For more than a decade, we've had information at our fingertips, and still the advent of true zero-point energy has yet to be properly introduced and integrated.
What's happened, and again, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is why for people to really up their game in the truth activist movement, if you will, they really need to get to the alien aspects of it, because they'll never truly understand what's going on until they realize that there is a non-human force. And like I said earlier, I'm gratified that Dr. Madej, I'm gratified that, you know, Stu Webb and others, and even Alex Jones talks about reptilians now. He doesn't make jokes about it, right? I'm glad that they're talking, you know, however infrequently, they're talking more about it, right? Because if you look at just the amount of alien hardware that has come into the possession of deep black elements of the military, and eventually what happens with most alien technology, it winds up in, surprise, surprise, private, i.e. corporate hands, right? And as Ben Rich said, he was the late director of Lockheed Skunk Works, it would take an act of God to pry the alien technology, and I'm paraphrasing him here, to pry this technology out of the hands of the aerospace corporations. Because the aerospace corporations have their own security compartmentalization classification that is standalone compared to the military's. Now, for many years, the military had a classification, a pro word as a technical term, called NOCON, which meant the information contained in a given message was not to be released to contractors, hence the pro word no con. Another pro word back then, I don't know about now, was no foreign, which meant that information contained in a message was not to be released to foreigners, hence the pro word no foreign, right? Well, what the aerospace corporations have done was they've created this intelligence referred to as SAPs and special access programs, right? They've created this classification system that bars all but those military, high-ranking military officers who basically are wearing two hats anyway. They're really working for the corporations, but they're in military guise. And very many of these guys, once they retire from the military, they wind up taking a job in the, you know, in the corporate world anyway, right? They go back to the aerospace corporation that they were fighting for when they were wearing a uniform. So they've created their own classification system. Ben Rich said it would take an act of God to pry this technology out of their hands. And again, you look back at the dawn of aviation, there was only a handful of American and British and European aircraft manufacturers. They were well known, Douglas, Glenn L. Martin, Lockheed, etc., etc., what became British Aerospace, Dassault in France. There was only a handful of them, and then over time, they morphed into the gigantic transnational aerospace giants that we see today. Well, what they've done is they've hoarded, on the one hand, they've hoarded this technology. The military makes the initial retrieval of the alien technology that's come to grief somehow, crash retrieval or shot down or whatever the case may be. And increasingly over time, we began seeing evidence of actual collusion between human military and aerospace on the one hand and non-human life forms on the other. But if you just keep it at the crash retrieval shot down standpoint for the time being, a tremendous amount of material, technological hardware has come into the possession first of the military, and then for the most part that information, technology, hardware goes to the aerospace corporations. And in America, there were only a handful of aircraft manufacturers, later aerospace corporations. And they were all, without exception, all provided with seed money from the Rothschild-Rockefeller nexus. Okay, so from the outset, when they were still flying these flimsy biplanes with cloth fabric wings and held together by baling wire, I mean, talk about real daredevils, those pilots. From the outset, that the seed money that allowed those airplane manufacturers, very small, to morph later down the track into these giant aerospace corporations, that was all Rockefeller Rothschild money. So that's how they regained control of this technology, because as we know, as I know, many others know, that the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are human, hardcore reptilian-human hybrids, right? So what they've done is they've systematically hoarded all this technology, and they've used their various enforcement arms, federal agencies, state agencies, local agencies, as well as private contractors, assassins, whatever the case may be, to ruthlessly suppress independent efforts at developing electrogravitic propulsion, electromagnetism as propulsion, field propulsion. Now, within the aerospace corporations, as far back as the 1950s, in the late 1940s, they were already diligently working on those types of propulsion systems, because by then, they'd already recovered quite a bit of alien technology. There was the crash in 1941, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It's quite possible they retrieved alien wreckage as far back as 1897, Great Airship Wave, so-called. But certainly by the time of Roswell, by the time of Aztec, New Mexico, the crash retrievals along the Texas-Mexico border in the early 1950s. By the early 1950s, the military and elements of the aerospace corporations had their hands on a lot of alien hardware. And so we started to see all these patents pop out from people in the know, people, engineers at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base suddenly coming out with patents of like dish-shaped craft or toroidal-shaped craft or whatever the case may be, right? So that was going on. And on the other hand, these corporations, they used their money and their black money to finance all these efforts of suppression, even to the point of intimidation, harassment, and outright murder. Anyone who was delving into fuel sources, propulsion methods, which smacked of clean energy, limitless energy, alien technology. All that was being suppressed publicly, but privately they were developing it, right? To the point where in what amounted to a deathbed interview, Ben Ritz said that the military now has a small fleet of craft, which they use to travel the stars. I would say they have a lot bigger than a small fleet by now, certainly. I would say that the capability not only exists to go to other star systems by deep black elements of the military aerospace community, but at this point I'm satisfied they can go to other dimensions, other alternate realms, et cetera, et cetera. So point of relevance is all the technology existed to have clean energy, to heal virtually all ailments, maladies, sicknesses. Because if you go by what people have seen of how the aliens operate, for example, the small pen light looking device, which they use to, they don't suture, they just run this light over an open wound and it just seals it right up. Talking to a friend of mine who worked many years in cancer research, and she was a dermatologist, also an abductee in a my lab who died a mysterious death. But anyway, she told me that when I described that type of tool to her, this little pen light looking device the aliens use to close up their surgical incisions, she said what they're doing is they're accelerating the growth of mitochondria to create new cell tissue so it binds up and just heals instantly, right? So that technology, see, the deep black military and aerospace community have always strived to not just replicate or duplicate known alien capabilities, right, but to exceed them. They're trying to push the bar out as far as they can go, because in truth, this aerospace, deep black military alien nexus has existed all along in various forms. When these crash retrievals began happening more frequently, especially with the advent of powerful radars created by the U.S. military, for the U.S. military, which was affecting the navigation and the flight worthiness, if you will, of a number of alien craft, they knew that they could develop this technology in secret and systematically keep everyone locked into the petrochemical, right, paradigm, which all has to do with artificial scarcity. Oh, you know, oil, fuel, petroleum, it's from dead dinosaurs and dead paleo historic plant matter. It's complete nonsense, of course, but it gives the notion of artificial scarcity. We're going to run out pretty soon, right? So they deprive the public of this technology, which would give them limitless energy, heal, promote plant crop growth, et cetera, et cetera. And then they just shut everything down. And you see it in the surface world now, where the Hunger Games Society, David Icke talks a lot about this, the Hunger Games Society, and you start to see the, like in the movie They Live, where Roddy Piper, he's a migrant, he's coming into that community, he's staying at a shanty town, a tent city, because he's looking for work, right? He's in a construction field. He's come over from somewhere else in America, and that's what you have. You have this two-tiered society of the haves and the have-nots, and increasingly, because of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainability, the greening of America, all those, people talk about how it all developed from the Limits of Growth book, Club of Rome, et cetera, but in truth, they've been doing this all along. They just codified it with the Club of Rome and made it policy through all the so-called advanced nations around the world. So now everything has to do with sustainability, everything has to do with making basically life and existence as difficult as possible for human beings all across the board. So when you're talking about suppression and sabotage of the evolution technology, it goes hand in hand with the sabotage of the human genetics and neurology, physiology, the suppression of esoteric science, real esoteric science, real natural healing, real metaphysical science, which has been relegated to the woo-woo, right? And there was efforts at hijacking all of that with people who I consider to be really Luciferians in the 1920s, 1930s. That gave rise to a whole succession of spiritual esoteric movements, but a lot of those were corrupted because they were sprung from this whole reptilian alien mantis kind of nexus, right? What I've said before, I'll say it again, that what we're seeing on Earth is an extension of what's been going on throughout the cosmos. The Orion Wars, the colonization, the eradication of the populations of entire star systems, right? Finally, that made it to our neck of the multiverse. And instead of the old paradigm of, we'll just conquer and take over, no. And what they're going to do now is, for loose purposes, what they've been doing all along, the large-scale farming, if you will, of the human population, first underneath the surface, they would pluck a lot of people from the surface down into the underground bases. That's still going on. There's been a lot of researchers out there talking about disappearing people disappearing in the forest, national parks, et cetera, et cetera. That's all part and parcel of this, right? So on the one hand, you have people, they've been de-evolved. And on the other hand, you have the technology which could lift the human race. Instead, they're suppressing that information and they're feeding us junk science, making us want to go all green and sustainable in the process, make ourselves extinct. You know, I mean, I don't have any other way of looking at it the way they've got this whole sustainability thing set up. But I hope I answered your question.
A past guest, Dr. Carmen Bolter, who produced a five-part documentary series titled The Pyramid Code, talked about the ancient dynasties of Egypt and how the initiates in certain dynasties had 360 senses. They could hear color and see sound. Their genetic structure was fully functional. Most humans don't have this capacity. Past guest Andrew Hennessy said, there are those among us with telepathic abilities, and they see regular humans as apes, animals in a stockyard. To them, we walk around with our ideas and feelings out there for them just to take as ripe fruit from a tree. What are your thoughts on this, and are there ways to protect yourself?
Andrew Hennessy is a great guy. He was a guest on my show, and his book, if memory serves, Monkeys of Eden.
That's
it. The title is self-explanatory. The guy's brilliant. But yes, the ancient mystical disciplines, and that's the key word to understand, because it was a discipline. It wasn't just this willy-nilly, let's play around with a Ouija board. There was a whole discipline, a science, a way of conducting oneself, if you will, in order to develop these enhanced multiple senses, but not get corrupted by marauding archontic influences in the process, right? Because we've all seen how so many efforts of one sort or another, in our example, the metaphysical, mystical movements, how some of them over time have been corrupted from within. You know, they were not able to prevent the infiltration of their groups, and they got corrupted by entities and by hosted individuals. And then you have all these guru movements that sprang up all over the place. Again, it's a manifestation of what we just talked about, how this corruption, this inversion of everything that should be good, everything that should be of benefit to the human race. In the old days, like you were talking about, it was common knowledge. I mean, one didn't have to be adept in the imperial court to have these abilities, to have this understanding and know-how. They just had to connect with the right people, be of a certain type, a certain moral standing, and then they would be, quote-unquote, initiated into these esoteric teachings, right? And we've seen this in the First Nation context, Native Americans, example, Aboriginal elders, Aboriginal folk medicine, if you will, the shamanic traditions. So in various forms, aspects of this have survived, but there has been this systematic effort for, as far as the masses were concerned, a systematic effort to destroy all of this, right? There was and still is an effort to prevent people from learning these esoteric secrets. So, yes, in the past, and in certain secret they have to be secret orders today. Falun Gong would be a classic example of that. That's why they've been hunted down ruthlessly by the Chinese communists. But there are efforts at continually suppressing this information. Now, it's interesting how, once again, everything is an inversion. So the Hollywood Babylon we see, and to be an A-lister, so many of these celebrities have to sell their soul and partake in all kinds of heinous, atrocious, evil things because they get so blackmailed and pulled in so much that if they try to deviate, go off the reservation, their careers, everything is destroyed, right? So, and some of them don't need that kind of negative motivation. Many of them are 100% into this whole Illuminati, Luciferian agenda. But the point of relevance is, within that context, within that milieu, if you will, they have their own secret handshakes, they have their own secret rituals, they have their own secret ceremonies, their own symbolism, et cetera, et cetera. Which the profane, I mean, they allow us to see it, and they allow the worshipful fan to see it in the form of these Super Bowl halftime extravaganzas, music videos, et cetera, et cetera. And to be sure, it lures some of these unsuspecting people, these starry-eyed fans, into that whole world, right? It's yet another means to lure people into the darker aspects of the occult. And, of course, the true meaning of the occult is merely that which is hidden, right? But they want them to get into the hidden stuff that's just downright evil. Whereas the esoteric practices and disciplines which would have helped us from a personal and societal level, from a planetary perspective, would have helped us and helped the planet, that's been ruthlessly suppressed. You can see with especially the Spanish conquistadors in the so-called New World, South America, elsewhere, they just ruthlessly stamped out these shamanic traditions in the native populations that they conquered and slaughtered. And we see this with the Bolsheviks in when they took over Russia and established the Soviet Union. They just, not only did they go after the Christians and burn down all the Greek Orthodox churches and what have you, and launched into all this suppression and the Red Terror, but they also ruthlessly went after people that, we saw the same thing in the witch hunts for hundreds of years. People that were herbalists, people that were natural healers, they just went after all those people, right? That's the clearest expression of this is the witch hunts, which lasted for centuries. And also this Inquisition was a big part of that too. So the bottom line is that information is there. It's been sequestered. It's been secreted. It's been made very difficult for the profane, if you will, to have access to. That so much of this stuff is locked up in places like the Smithsonian, right? Other places like that. So we need to get to that point where, and people try to take different avenues to get there, plant medicine, what have you. There's various yogic disciplines, breathing disciplines people can use to hopefully get them in that direction where they become a fully realized, potentiated human being, right? Like we used to be. It's a lot of work because there's so many distractions today. Because of, well, the big distraction of this mass culling on the surface and introduction of these nano operating systems and so many people that have taken the stabs. So I think now more than ever, we need to regain the ability to telepathically communicate with one another, because at some point they will shut down the grid. At some point they will shut down all normal comms, telecommunications, computers, et cetera, et cetera. We've already seen this play out with the oppression and harassment meted out to protesters. Their comms are cut off, their cell phones don't work. In many cases, they weren't even able to use, the batteries were drained of their phones, and they weren't even able to take video and store it in their phones. The providers, the internet providers, and the cell phone towers mysteriously went down, or at least were shut off for the users in a lot of these protests. But not only was the phones just pumping out all this energy, which drained the phones, but it also irradiated the phone owners also, among other things. So they weren't even able to take video and store it in their phones. Okay, that's how bad it was in some of these protest sites around the world. So we need to be able to set up, well, there's already a pre-existing standalone means of communication, and that's telepathy. Many of the aboriginals in Australia can still communicate telepathically. We know that many of the Native Americans who brought into the esoteric traditions of their particular tribe or nation, they have this means of telepathy. So I really think that we should all, as a fallback means if nothing else, develop telepathy, reacquire the capabilities so we're able to maintain comms with one another. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, that's an interesting take, and it certainly is a long ways away for a lot of us. Humans continually face a drone of contradictory science and cosmology, ridiculous political decisions, lunatic wars, and a list of distractions, as we've just talked about here. James, in several shows, we've gone into detail about the parasitic culture walking among us, treating humans as livestock and harvesting blood and life force. What have you seen in your research about this ancient ritual to harvest human energy?
Well, I'll talk about the metaphysical aspects of that before I get into the technological aspects of that. Loosh, I think Dr. Robert Monroe was the one that coined that term. If anyone is interested in astral travel, they should read his books. That's a primer. And he talked about how Loosh is this energy emitted by humans, and it could be either Loosh generated as a result of positive emotions or negative emotions, all points in between, sexual Loosh, energy, etc., etc. Barbi Bartholik always spoke of energetic emotional harvesting. The alien love bite is a classic example of that, where two alien abductees from an early age are paired up with each other by the aliens, and then later on they're put together, they meet in real life, so to speak, and then this, what Barbie called the drama of the love obsession, occurs, where they're just in a highly emotional state, very psychic, very telepathically and astrally connected, and then the plug is pulled and one or more of the individuals involved suffers a complete emotional meltdown, and the aliens just have this big smorgasbord loosh fest at his or her expense. And this could last for years. That's just one example, but it's a very common syndrome. In fact, Barbara Bartholow thinks alien abductees will go through that love bite at some point in their life. She always said to me also that everyone on the surface is affected in one way, shape, or form by the alien presence, by the reptilian presence. And now we can see that, okay? But as far as the harvesting of emotions, look what they're doing, just constantly bombarding us with fear, keeping us in our complex state of fear, aggression derived from fear, aggression amplified by fear, the demonization of others, the anti-vaxxers, the Trump supporters, the gun owners, just the demonization, very similar, in fact, cut from the same cloth as the whole witch hunt crusade mentality, right? The demonic other. And that's what they've done, is it's become a loosh fest. If you look at it from the standpoint of a narcissistic reptilian hybrid, abusive in our example, and the woman, the frightened, beaten woman that the rep hybrid narcissist is physically and psychologically and sexually abusing, okay? We can see how this loosh fest works. The fear, trepidation, anxiety exuded by the woman, in our example, is being fed upon by the entity working through the narcissistic hybrid host. But the entity who's taken up that individual as a host, because genetically, spiritually, that host, that family, was predisposed, even at a metaphysical level, to being taken up as host, right? It's a bloodline thing. So not only is the entity working through the hybrid narcissist, in our example, feeding off the woman's fear that it's engendering, but it's feeding off the rage that it's inculcating, promoting within the hybrid itself, right? So it's a, like, get your cake and eat it too. So a lot of it has to do with emotional, energetic harvesting. And then you look at the technical aspects, the information coming out of Barbie's research, which coincided with a lot of research from Dulce and other places that we know of, where they were working on, in Dulce, research into the human soul, bioplasmic essence, because all, you know, plasma electric universe model is the real model, etc., etc. So now we can see that playing out with the introduction of the hydrogel, the nano operating systems, etc., etc., the graphene inside people, how they're already manipulated emotionally by the Marxist reptilian indoctrination system. Soon to be the 5G, 6G rollout, you're going to see, we're already seeing all these mask holes, these Karens, these unhinged leftists, okay? That in itself is a louche fest, right? So when they start cranking up this 5G, we're going to see that in spades. So people need to work even harder to remain grounded and remain neutral to this, recognize it for what it is. Don't get caught up in the emotions of it. That's what they want. Certain emotions at certain times are necessary and required to get us through all this. There's nothing wrong with righteous indignation, righteous anger, properly channeled. However short, however ideally, you know, it shouldn't linger and that feeling shouldn't last for a long time. But, you know, recognize things for what they are and stay grounded, because they're really going to do things to amp up the emotions going forward. They've already done a tremendous amount of work in that regard already, but now they're just going to kick it into high gear. So, yeah, I'm sorry we weren't able to answer all your questions, Jeff, because I know we still had a couple more. But, you know, you come on my show, I'll come back on your show in a future time, and we can delve into some of those aspects. But I really do appreciate you letting me come on your show and talk at length like this.
James Bartley, you're very welcome. You covered a lot of topics that are not very pleasant to hear, but within the context of social and geopolitical changes taking place, it allows us to have a better perspective, pull back a little bit more, and get a view of this reality as this ancient driving force operates from behind the curtain. It's not all doom and gloom. There are many paths in taking yourself off the radar of these beings. This is often discussed by Tom Montauk on his site, montauk.net. He's been a guest on your show, The Cosmic Switchboard, an amazing podcast radio show where you host a wide range of guests and dive deep into this material. Please tell listeners where they can find this.
Yes, thecosmicswitchboard.com. You can find it online, and there's all the part ones in there, and there are some standalone, free to the public commentaries I've done. You can find them all, or most of them, on the YouTube channel, but you can find them all on thecosmicswitchboard.com. So, and you can go on there and just check out the archives. There's like 4 or 5 years worth of stuff on there by now.
Amazing. Excellent. Well, definitely do that, and the listeners will do that as well. cosmicswitchboard.com. James Bartley, thank you so much for being on Another News.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.